Meanwhile, as we've been reporting all morning, tens of thousands of people gathered this morning in Iran at the soccer stadium at Tehran University to hear Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei speak. As protests continue, our partners at the BBC are getting immensely interesting emails directly from Iran. And joining us right now is the BBC's Siavash Ardalan, a presenter with an international talk show program on the BBC's Persian TV channel in London. The BBC's Persian TV broadcasts into Iran from London, and as we said, they are receiving thousands of emails. Siavash, thank you so much for joining us. You know, let's just go right into some of what you're hearing today.
Hi, Catherine. Just to make a slight correction, the Supreme Leader's speech was held in Tehran University, which is the traditional location, the venue for these speeches.
We thought it was a soccer stadium within the university.
No, it's just the
university itself,
Well, thank you so much. No problem. We've, ever since all these developments happened last week, ever since this election unrest, so to speak, occurred, the number of emails we've been receiving has gone up by 50-fold, 50 times. We've been receiving thousands and thousands of emails per day, which is remarkable given the fact that they've filtered most of the other websites, that all the lines of communication, virtual communication, have been blocked, and the internet connection is very slow. Nevertheless, people do send us emails, and most of it comes naturally from the protesters, people who are disillusioned with the election results, who believe that we're screaming foul play, and much of it reflects their frustrations and their hopes and their call on their comrades, so to speak, to carry on with the street protests that we've been seeing over the past few days.
So can you give us one or two direct?
Well, the Supreme Leader just gave a speech, which is a major turning point today. He basically and tacitly warned the protesters not to carry on their protests in the streets anymore. And if they do, they will face severe crackdown. That was the gist of what he said. And a minority of the emails that we've been receiving over the past 2 hours, which is when the speech finished, is some of them have expressed hopelessness. Oh, it's gone. The dream is gone. Now that he's said this, that's it, you know, the end of the protests. But the majority of the emails we've been getting has been calling on people to be steadfast and not to leave the scene. We've received an email from Tehran, from Mansour, who says with this speech, Khamenei, which is the name of the Supreme Leader, he signed his own death warrant. And from now, he tied his own destiny to that of President Ahmadinejad. And now the people know exactly who the real enemy is. Another email comes from Isfahan, from Sarah, Isfahan, a province in south of Iran, and said that as we expected, and despite his own denials, the Supreme Leader took side with President Ahmadinejad, and this helped people exactly see who the real enemy is. And another email from Ali, doesn't say which city, he says that I hope that the opposition candidate, Mir Hossein Mousavi, I hope that he does not let up. I hope that he keeps his protest. There's a protest tomorrow scheduled by the supporters of Mir Hossein Mousavi, another silent demonstration in Tehran. And he's just saying that he hopes that protest will be carried on as scheduled.
What kind of change do you expect to see in the wake? I mean, just given that you've been getting this tenor in the last few hours, what kind of change do you think you're going to see in the emails coming in today?
I think people will be calling on Mir Hossein Mousavi, the opposition candidate, to be steadfast and to press on with the protests. They don't expect him to let up. There is this fear, because it has happened before, not to this extent, that many of the politicians who did express some kind of a dissent after a speech made by the Supreme Leader, they all kind of, you know, went back and then kind of crawled back to their own kind of places. So they're hoping that this time it will be different and that he doesn't let up. So that's pretty much the sentiment we're getting so far.
The Supreme Leader said that those protesting will be held responsible. I'm wondering if you're hearing any reaction of either fear or challenge from people writing in about what
most
that
of
actually
the minority
meant.
Of it is fear. A small part of it is fear, but most of it is challenging. They're challenging the Supreme Leader. It's not us who is responsible. From now on, if anything happens, it's you who is responsible for any blood that might be shed.
And I think we should also be really clear that you are getting these emails in Farsi, in Persian?
Most of it is in Persian, yeah, mm-hmm. and some of it is in they transliterate it. It's with a Latin alphabet, but still it's in Farsi. And also I do have to say, in all fairness,
yes.
these emails that we're receiving are mainly from those people who are disputing the elections, who are supporters of the opposition candidates. We're not getting too many emails from the supporters of the regime itself and the supporters of Ahmadinejad, who may feel either confident or may feel embarrassed by what's been happening from the aftermath of all these unrests.
And to conclude here very, very quickly, we've been talking about the fact that whether you were following the tweets or the Facebook entries, it's not necessarily always possible to know the provenance, if you will, of these online communications. So how certain are you that people are writing with their real names, or that they're actually writing to you from their locations?
Well, you can never establish that. Mm-hmm. That's very difficult. But we have so much emails, it's just difficult to think there's one center sitting and organizing this mass misinformation. But nevertheless, many of them don't write their own names in particular, or many of them come with different Yahoo or Hotmail accounts. They email us. So it's very difficult to say in that way, but most of it does sound genuine.
Okay. Siavash Ardalan, a presenter of an interactive talk show program on the BBC's Persian TV, the BBC, one of our partners, want to thank them.